because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God
bless you. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's summary of this week in the Capitol. Oops are deliberate, J.R. You know, the governor delivers an 1,800-page budget bill, and he doesn't see all the words, but the budget shop approves the most amazing change in the Wisconsin idea, which is the boundaries of the UW system is the boundaries of the state.
Yes.
And we're going to show that. And what he actually submitted in the first draft, the mission of the system is to develop human resources to meet the state's workforce needs. Mm-hmm. That could have been written by WMC.
And him as well. I mean, he believes in that. You know, he's talking about preparing people for jobs. So, okay. Not too bad.
But the initial order approved by the governor's office, well, the budget office, strikes this as the mission of the UW. Basic to every purpose of the system is the search for truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so then he tweets, no big deal, but he's pushed and he's pushed, and he issues three different explanations, and the final one is a 500-word statement. The UW did protest. The budget office cut off the protest. Big deal or two-cycle news story?
It takes him off message. The governor is very, very good most of the time on message, very disciplined, if you will. It seems like, though, once every great while, there's something that happens and they step in it and they have a hard time getting back on message. In this case, remember, first in De Pere, we caught him up there with one of our stringers and he said, you know, look, it's still a state institution. This is all about getting people ready for jobs. No big deal was his kind of reaction. Hours later, it was a drafting error. It'll remain in the budget. Well, drafting error to most people is like a misplaced syllable,
yeah,
or a comma or period.
Easily cleaned up.
You look at the drafting instructions, strikes out, clearly strikes out entire sentences, adds new things. That's more than a drafting error, if you will, for most people. So then there's this, well, there's a miscommunication. Well, what miscommunication was there? Oh, and the UW kind of missed it. They didn't really raise a big stink. Well, I kind of did. So it takes away the message from, in some ways, the $300 million in cuts and public authority to what are you messing with this? And now for a lot of people, look, you know, if you went to UW, you are protective of this philosophy, right? I mean, I think you have a special bond with that,
yeah,
approach. If you didn't, and I'm not one of them, you know, you might not see as big a deal to it. And I'm sure the average Joe Sixpack, who might not have gone to UW but loves Badger games, might go, what's the big deal? But for this, it was the answer sometimes, the kind of the response.
The shifting response.
Yes. That made it, gave it gas in the fire, if you will, and,
yeah,
made it a distraction for a couple of days. We're not talking about property taxes being flat. We're not talking about anything else but this for 2 days. And why? Because of the explanation that happened.
Yeah. Well, the shifting sand is very intriguing, but it was also used by the opponents of the huge changes he wants to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we covered part of the Regents meeting yesterday. Regent Chuck Pruitt, appointed by Governor Doyles, a toxic combination,
mm-hmm,
to freeze and then give us governance, give us one or the other. Justice Bradley also against it, saying we have a duty to advocate for higher ed.
It was interesting, with some of Doyle's own appointees were applauding Rebecca Blank when she got up there and gave this impassioned speech.
This 1 hour speech. Saying,
what did Tommy Thompson used to say? I appoint him to the Board of Regents, I don't see him for 6 years until,
right,
they come back, can I get back on the board? In that time, they go native. I mean, like, it's kind of an interesting thing about how the reaction has been to this proposal and what's going on.
Well, which is the real issue here. How, a few days after he officially made it, how is this proposed change? Let's cut, mm-hmm, funding, let's freeze tuition, but beginning on July 1, 2016, which I had wrong in an earlier blog, we'll create an authority that can run it,
mm-hmm,
although they'll still have to run it with a block grant, I think, of $783 million. So a few days after he officially made it, how does it stand in the Capitol?
I get the impression that both Republicans and Democrats are unhappy with the size of the cut. They're not quite sure that that's appropriate. Now, Republicans will say, look, Doyle cut it $250 million back in the day, but Jim Doyle did not cap tuition, allowed to make up a good chunk of that, was a decade ago, wherever it was. So there's that issue. The authority is a whole nother issue, because Republicans don't trust the Board of Regents. Yes, it's not mostly comprised of Walker appointees.
Yes.
But they have a history in their minds of doing what they want to do, not what's best in their Republican minds for the state. So they're saying, okay, we freeze tuition for 2 years, but what after that?
Yeah.
They're going to get a unlimited amount of hikes if they want them.
Right.
They're also going, okay, let me get this straight. We're giving them a block grant. Now on, that's going to go up by the CPI every year, even if we have a humongous massive deficit in Wisconsin state government. Right. How does that work? So there's that. You know, I'm not sure they're ready to let go, if you will, but the yin and yang is you can't cut them that big without giving them something in return. So might they get a smaller cut, smaller flexibility, or the big cut and the full flexibility? That's still kind of to be determined. And oh, by the way, if they're going to fix it, they need more money. Where's the money come from? That's mm-hmm. huge.
Well,
issue.
Meanwhile, Walker said if there's a lot more growth in state tax collections, I would consider mm-hmm. reducing the cut to the UW. But stand in line for health care and for K-12.
I think K-12 is number one on the list for lawmakers about where the extra money would go. Now, almost every May, we get re-estimates from Bob Lang at Fiscal Bureau if revenues are supposed to go up or down.
Yes.
So if there's a reason for a change, they'll do them. If there's no reason for a change,
there'll
be nothing. So it's been good news in 11 and 13. It was bad news in 9 with the budget imploding and the national economy imploding. So there's no guarantee of new money in May. But if it does come, I think lawmakers are banking on that happening so they can then pump the money into K-12, maybe lower the cut to UW, maybe divert some to the transportation fund to lower the bond. I mean, there's all kinds of things in line for that handout, if you will.
You just put Medicaid on number 4 on your list. Well, I rate it higher.
They cover most of the cost to continue. Now, what they're looking for savings are things like family care program, senior care. That's going to be a difficult one, too. Don't forget that.
Wants to put senior care recipients on Medicare Part D.
Which I think they've tried to do before.
They tried to do it 2 years ago.
So I do think, though, that they're largely covering the cost to continue. And what Walker wants to do is there's been a kind of an increase, if you will, in these programs that provide in-home care.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not really good definition of what in-home care should be covered in their minds. So they're looking at trying to have a tighter restriction, if you will, and better use of that money. So they might find some savings there.
I'm going to come back to transportation, JR. I was surprised at the cold shoulder that the governor's idea of, hey, let's print some more money. Borrow. Let's bond. $1.3 mm-hmm. billion. That Nygren quote, he may have given it to you. I read it in the Journal Sentinel. Nygren, I get elected to solve problems, not push them off.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a pretty brusque statement coming from a leader of the governor's own party. Are you surprised at the pushback over the 1.3 in bonding?
Lawmakers almost always get the budget and say, okay, thanks, now we'll take over. That's not that unusual. But what's interesting here is they're kind of asserting their authority more early on. And if you talk to Republicans privately, they're kind of grumble, look, this guy might not be here in 2 years, I will.
Right.
So if he's gone, if he's budgeting in their mind, some people will say he's budgeting for the presidential race, not for 4 years from now. So for Republicans who are saying, look, I have to deal with this problem in 2 years and again in 4 if we don't fix it now, are saying, you know, he didn't lead. Well, Gov's folks say, look, the revenue's not there. So tell me what project in your backyard do you want to cut?
Exactly.
To lessen
what
the
tax or fee you want to increase.
Okay, you've got the courage. You go out there and say what tax you want to increase, because they're not going to do a straight gas tax. That's not going to happen. Yeah. But there's talk of things like, well, a miles-driven user fee now. It's not a tax anymore.
Is that
it's, it's a user fee.
Is that back?
It's a miles-driven. Registration fees. I mean, they might look at a whole mix of things to do to try and solve this problem. And, oh, by the way, the governor's defenders will say, look, these Republicans in the legislature who are raising all this kind of mess about what we're going to lead, they may be eyeing when he's gone mm-hmm. and who's going to fill that gap when he doesn't run for election, if that has happened. So let's say he doesn't win the presidency. He's back until 2018.
Right.
Does he run again? If he doesn't, who's going to step up? Oh, by the way, if I'm saying now I can lead, that might lay some foundation, if you will, for down the road. So there's some cynicism going on. Shock, right, in the Capitol? Cynicism?
Shock. The $1.3 billion is very interesting mm-hmm. because in 2007, 10% of all of our state gas tax revenues went to pay off debt service, went to pay off bonds. Under the governor's recommendation, I checked with the budget shot, 22.8%.
Yeah, in the
second almost
year.
One in four would go to do nothing but service debt. It's a chilling number for taxpayers.
Because we were at 16% even last year. It's supposed to be 19.5 this year.
Yep, 16,
just
19.
Eke over 20 in the first year, but then it goes up. And the problem for lawmakers is it gets worse. It doesn't get better unless you pull back a great deal.
Meanwhile, all the reporters like us have been trying to find the fine print items, and they're pretty darn interesting. $2.7 million cut to public radio and public mm-hmm. TV. What did they do wrong?
You know, I mean, go back and look at the last budget. Republicans wanted to nix, prevent what the that journalism outfit from being in UW.
Investigative Center, Center for Investigative Journalism.
Thank you. For being in a UW property. You know, like it's, I mean, I guess the one hand, it's like they don't feel like the public sector should support what should be private sector interest, if you will. So I get that philosophy, but you know, it's not a hit that really is going to save you a whole lot. It's going to be picking a fight. I'm not quite sure what the whole impetus is.
And I'm not sure either. Meanwhile, let's take the authority to make decisions from the boards that regulate DNR mm-hmm. and DATCAP, Ag Trade and Consumer Protection. Let's make them advisory. Is that just continue to make what some have called the imperial governor?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, remember, it was almost 20 years ago now, 19 years and 6 months or whatever it was that they took it away from DNR and gave it, or the board, and gave it to the governor.
Yeah.
So it's a continuation of that. I mean, we've seen an erosion of other things, the Secretary of State, for example, of powers being taken away and consolidated in DOA. I mean, it's the Department of Everything for a reason, right? Or Department of All. So it's not a shock in that regard, but in Walker's mind, it's a consolidation and an efficiency. You know, we don't need a board of people to tell me how to run the DNR. I run the DNR. You know, it's my agency, my administration. So in that regard, I guess I see the philosophy of what have we done for years in Wisconsin? Do we need to do it that way anymore? Just because you've done it for 100 years that way doesn't mean it should be done that another 100 the same way. So that's, I think, what's driving some of this.
And let's stop buying land under the Gaylord Nelson, Democrat, mm-hmm. Warren Knowles, Republican stewardship program. Let's not buy any more land till 2027.
Yeah.
Now, they say a soaring debt service is a reason for that. Is that the real reason?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's more than $1 million a week or something like that, I think what they told us. That's going to the bonding, the stewardship fund. Look, Republicans, it's a little bit different up north than it is down south, all right? Up north, they go, look, we have all this land, and it's owned by the state. That's not right. You know, it's kind of like encroaching on how much private land is up there. So they're not thrilled about that. Remember, Representative Meyer a few years ago pulled this little piece of paper out of his pocket in joint finance with this whole thing to go after stewardship. The first time we saw it really nicked, if you will.
Yeah.
So I think that's a philosophy of up north. I'm not a big fan. Now, Robin Voss said, what? I'm not sure that's a wise thing, because in my area of the state, southeastern Wisconsin, there are developmental pressures that if you lose that land now, it's gone forever.
It's gone.
So you might see a little bit of a pushback to have something. There's not a true moratorium, but there are plenty of Republicans who will say, that's fine by me. You know, I'm not a big fan of stewardship as it is.
Meanwhile, let's talk taxes. All the idea of a big tax cut are gone. Mm-hmm. And when the governor's aides briefed us, he said, this is how much it's going to save the average property tax on the average, $5. Now, that didn't sound like much to me. How about you, JR?
No, it's part of a philosophy, though. Walker wants to be able to say every year, your taxes have gone down. He wants to be able to say in 2018, they're lower than when I took office. And so he's keeping us on that trajectory. Now, there are a few Republicans who will tell you that this is the Walker budgeting from his county executive days, where you propose a very tight budget, give it to the legislative branch, and then they have to deal with these things and come back with more spending.
And they pork it up.
You know, so that's, again, a little cynicism in the Capitol, but that's the way it works over there. So maybe that's it. Maybe they come back with more money for schools. Maybe they move some things around or say, look, that $280 million in property tax savings isn't worth the hit to schools in the first year.
Right.
Let's split them, keep property taxes flat, and all, you know. So there are things like that might happen. We'll see.
And you talk about the cynicism. Well, the talk in the press room was, okay, so my property taxes on my home are going down $5, but there's a $2 increase in camping fees in there, quickly erased. Meanwhile, the K-12 school says we were promised $75 more per student. We're not going to get it. That amounts to a cut. That's kind of like, but the other side of that is Walker's people saying, look, you're about getting the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give you the $75 upper. Is there any winner there?
$127 million. In a pot that's
$5.2
billion.
Yeah.
So again, the line from Walker's folks has been, look, if you're flat in this budget, you are a winner. So in a lot of ways, K-12 was flat, down a little bit. So, but for K-12, they're making the argument of, look, that $300 million that cut to UW, for us, this is the same kind of thing. You know, you're telling us we can't spend more, $1 more than we did last year for the next 2 years per kid. That's tough to eat when prices go up a lot of things. So, I think lawmakers, though, that's the first draw, I think, on any new money that comes in.
Traveling with the K-12 issue is the voucher. Mm-hmm. Eliminate the 1,000 cap on outstate. However, only pay for those who transfer from public to private schools. That's a very interesting wrinkle. That amounts to an admission that we don't have enough money to pay for private and public students who transfer.
Well, I think it also was they weren't real happy when the studies came out from the initial expansion that 70% of kids were already in private school and just had their...
In both years, you're right.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's part of it. Now, the other piece of that is the voucher folks aren't happy with the funding formula either, because what they're going to do is say, okay, if you, City of Madison, you lose a kid, that your per pupil aid follows that kid, goes into a big pool, because you are one of the better districts for getting money from the state. A district from like up north that's property rich, they're not. So if we just gave that kid up north his $1,200, it wouldn't cover the cost of the voucher, where you might have more than you need for the voucher. We're going to pool all that money and average it out and give every kid the same amount of money, so they're treated equally no matter where they're on the state. Right. Well, there's no guarantee that voucher will cover the cost of tuition in a private school, one.
Yep.
Two, you won't know if you're a school, if it covers, how much it covers until they're actually in your doors. That's a problem.
Yep.
So there's all these things that, and the
all these nuances.
K-12 folks are going, wait. You're going to take that money away? You know, so they're a little nervous. Now, I think governor's folks, what, said they still count toward the three-year rolling average for property tax. So there's all this, it's a very complex formula. And right now they're still trying to like unravel all these strings about what's going on to figure out what, how does this impact me? And until we see the LFB runs on school aids, we won't know for sure how all that stuff works out.
Yeah, two other things in the fine print I want to land on quickly. If you're a state employee, forget about the pay raises. Mm-hmm. There's no money. And the Journal Sentinel reported it just today that there's this wrinkle, a provision would require a state judge or DA to seek who wants a special prosecutor to get permission from the State Department of Justice. I wasn't aware of that until today. Is that is this getting around the John Doe?
I don't know if it's retroactive. There's also a provision there, by the way, that eliminates the judicial council and takes the judicial commission, which has been independent for 30-some years, and puts it under the Supreme Court, where two justices or several justices have had complaints filed against them by the commission.
Ooh.
That's a little interesting. So.
Yeah.
Well, fun times.
Fun times. And then the idea that we drug test those that want public assistance, that's got widespread support. That's Joe Parisi said that would drug test 10,000 people in Dane County. I may sue, but that's going to be part of that final budget, isn't it?
That average Joe says, hey, if you're on public assistance, you should be. And now Walker is stressed too. Because it first came out, it was like, you're going to be drug tested. Well, you're going to lose your cover. What he's saying is, you're going to get screened first. If you have any red flags, then we test you.
Yes.
If you test positive, we get you treatment.
Yes.
So you don't lose it right away. You get put in treatment to try and get you off drugs, in the governor's words, and get, you know, healthy.
And
so it's a little more detailed coming out that makes it even that much more palatable, I think, to the average Joe.
Right, because if you're in treatment, you could continue to get public benefits.
Yes.
Hey, before we go to your stock picks, I have a question for you. I did a word search on the governor's 25-minute budget message. Not one mention of Washington. Why?
Good question. I mean, because the State of the State was all about Washington, right? But what might be is that Governor Walker knows, I've got the Washington attention already. This wasn't the main show for me. He already got that with going out to Iowa. The polls this week, he's already got Washington's attention. He doesn't need to do that.
Well, issues, though, like the UW and the mission statement, they're being watched by political reporters nationally, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's having his, like, moment in the sun, and what happened to that Greek guy that you flew too close to the sun? He, his wings melted off.
I mean, Prometheus. Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
it's the Sarah Palin thing. Howard Dean.
You're not saying he's going to fly too close. Okay,
but what I'm saying is now is a time that they're going to come in and start doing like the closer look at Scott Walker. Who really is Scott Walker? Do you know Scott Walker, the governor? He's not worried about peaking too soon. He's pretty confident himself right now. Yeah, let's see how it goes the next month or two, and they really start to dig in. Who is this guy? He has said, I know, scrutinize governor America. I can take anything you throw at me. So we'll see. But I think now is a time that it's inevitable. It happens where everybody runs for president. When you have that rise, you're going to get now the look, what's in your past. Rick Perry, you know, nobody talked about in Texas the whole thing with his ranch, you know, with the offensive word on the stone outside until he was a front runner, right. You know. These things kind of come up that way.
It's just fascinating. Okay, what's politics stock picks?
So Rising and Walsh Bradley outraised James Daly 3-1 in the first reports for the race. Now, you know, getting off the ground post-November election for a spring election is not very easy for a first-time candidate, so there's that. But in talking to conservatives who are connected with these groups that run ads in these elections, they're not really excited about them just yet.
Are they going to sit on their money?
Good question. They don't like Ann Walsh Bradley. So that alone might motivate them to get involved. But the question they have kind of asked is, well, is James Daly the guy ideologically we want on the court? Is he worth the investment? He said a few things so far, makes him kind of go, I don't know about this guy. So there's a little issue there. Ann's in good shape right now, seems to be strong, raising good money. The problem, though, for her is this. If WMC and the others of the world come in and say, okay, it's 5 weeks out and it's a two-point race, we can make a difference with $1 million. You know, that's a real threat for her at any time between now and the first week of April.
Are these the same groups, though, that are being asked by Scott Walker to contribute to his, what's the name of his?
527, Our American Revival.
Our American Revival.
Renewal. Yes, or whatever, Revival.
There's only so much money. There's only so much money, isn't there?
There is.
Okay.
There is.
All right. So she's rising, mixed?
Scott Walker. I mean, there's such a juxtaposition of how well he's doing nationally with the thud that was the budget this week in Wisconsin, right? I mean, he's near the top in the polls in New Hampshire, in Iowa, in North Carolina. In North Carolina, PPP, which is this Dem firm, said it's the first time they had seen Walker in the top tier of all the polls they've done. He was leading in New Hampshire, in Iowa. I mean, he's doing really well in these early states. Now, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, not quite as well. Mm-hmm. Those are big states. But if he does well in Iowa, does well in New Hampshire, that creates momentum to go forward. So will it last? Good question. State side, though, he's got Republicans who are grumbling about his budget. He stepped in the UW mess. I mean, it's hard to govern while you're running for president sometimes, and this might be one of those examples of
where. Did you read the political story today of why Democrats really hope Scott Walker is the nominee? You probably haven't had time to do that. Falling?
Doug LaFollette. So look at the budget, the fine print again. Here's a guy who's lost all kinds of like responsibilities the last couple of years. Walker would cut him down from four positions to two, him and another person, would move him from his office, the 10th floor of the building with the Veterans Museum, to share an office with State Treasurer Matt Adamczyk, who, by the way, wants to cut his office.
He's eliminated his three FTEs. Go ahead, excuse me.
They would go to the basement of the Capitol, be housed down there. He'd lose money that is now transferred to his office, and he's going, okay, what do I do? He's saying that he houses all these historical records in his vault there.
Yeah.
Who's going to move the vault? Where's it going to go? The public has to be able to access these things. How's this going to work? Well, it's going to work. They're going to peel away and peel away and peel away until they pass a constitutional amendment to repeal the office. I mean, that's a trajectory that office is on right now. And Doug LaFollette's a man without much to do these days.
Okay, I see why he's falling. The governor goes on a trade mission to London, but I still think we'll find enough for next week's Rewind.
Maybe.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
Thank you.